Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. Our next workshop is coming up May 17th through the 19th in Florida, just outside Orlando. Space is limited, so call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY to register. That's 1-800-497-8748 or visit gatewaymen.com. Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're so glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and we actually have some, I was going to say old friends, but I got to be careful about how saying that. You know, we've got some friends that have been on the show before. We've got Steve and Jamie Wishman. So Steve and Jamie, welcome back.
Hi.
And I love the fact that, you know, this time I didn't have to ask you about how to pronounce your last name. I got it right. I'm not going to mess that up again. I tell you what, I've interviewed so many people, and you think I'd get better at, like, before actually getting on the air, asking people about their name. But so many times I've just dived right in, and next thing you know, I'm going, okay, I have no idea how to pronounce your name. But anyway, I got it right. It's actually a lot simpler than it's spelled, right?
Yes.
We have to actually tell people the same thing about our name. It's Darty. But it's got all these unnecessary letters in the middle that just confuse me. You know? Well, we're glad to have you guys back. Before we kind of dive into just where you guys are at, your ministry, and just some things that have been going on, I just want to let our listeners know that we are so grateful for those of you who've come alongside to partner with us. We're completely a donation-supported ministry. And so the only way that you can hear us or see us is because of faithful partners that have decided to come alongside and support this ministry. So thank you for that. If you would like to learn about the ways that you can support us, just go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link. Well, Steve and Jamie, so it's been a little while since we've talked, and it's amazing how just a little while, a lot can happen. So I would love for you to kind of just update our listeners. You know, for those who haven't gotten to know you or didn't hear the previous broadcast that we had together, you know, you guys have been in a season, I guess, for about the last year, a little bit more than a year, maybe 2 years, of just kind of transitioning into a whole new type of ministry and really dealing with marriages. And so why don't you maybe give us an update over this last year of where you guys have been personally and ministry-wise, and just we'll go from there.
You go first.
Okay. Yeah, so we launched our ministry in November of 2017. Obviously, it takes a lot of work before you launch, but we've been organized that long. So we thought we were going to start off by just being a retreat ministry. And I don't know how many people have started up something new, but what we're discovering a year and a half in is that it shifts and changes a lot. So we do retreats, but we've done a lot more speaking. We've led a couple conferences now, and we're actually doing some consulting with the church and some small group stuff. So we have a heart for breathing into Christian leaders and breathing life into their stories and helping them find God in whatever experience they're in. But that's taking a lot of different forms than what we thought originally.
Mm-hmm. I would say, early on, because I had been a pastor on a couple of church staffs, our first heart was for Christian leaders in churches, and then in time, Christian leaders anywhere. And now it's kind of like, if there's somebody who's searching for God and wanting to hear from God, we're open to meeting with them and kind of praying with them and helping them hear God and what is God calling for them and wanting to get them in their lives. So,
mm-hmm. So help our to try to kind of give some clarity to our listeners in terms of, okay, what's your ministry? What do you do? I obviously, you know, things can morph a lot in the first part, but if you were to give your 30-second, you know, elevator pitch to somebody saying, hey, so you're in full-time ministry. So like, what do you do? How would you answer that?
So Breathe Life Ministries is the name of our ministry. And the main thing we do is come alongside Christian leaders, either couples and do 3.5-day retreats, helping them process life, faith, ministry in a very safe setting. Or we do it with groups now, staffs. We're going to do a staff retreat. We've also done groups of church leaders as well, doing a lot of the similar things, except with a larger group.
Really creating space for authentic encountering of God. So sharing honestly of your experience. We often talk about wanting to be thankful and joyful and not be angry. But what we're coming to an understanding of, greater and greater understanding, is that that's a process. So we don't always, we maybe don't want to be angry, but some things happen and we are angry. So what do we do? What do we do then? And how do we bring that to God and to his people and receive healing from that?
And as we shared last time too, our three key words that we continue to work with are rest, healing, and play, of helping bring those gifts into leaders' lives.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit in terms of even just in your own life. Cause you know, one of the things being in a ministry like ours would be broken here and just, you know, constantly addressing issues of sexual brokenness and dealing with sexual integrity issues. It's interesting. There's this assumption that, oh, well, Jonathan, obviously if he's leading something like that, he's probably, you know, he's got it all figured out. He's got it all together. He's, you know, there's this assumption that if you're kind of on the leadership side of ministry, that you've got some special insight or somehow you've figured it out or somehow you've arrived. And the reality is those of us who are in ministry, at least those of us who are going to be honest, are recognizing that we got to drink our own Kool-Aid. It's like, you've got to actually, it's one thing to try to come alongside other people and help them, but it's totally disingenuous if we're doing that in kind of a phony way where we are not actually, we're not actually engaging the material that we're actually putting out. So I'm curious now, you know, you're talking about, hey, you've got, you know, heal and rest and play, and you've got dealing with, you know, Jamie, you mentioned anger and you know, these things that are realities of life. And what does it look like then to have a strong marriage and really, you know, lean into the grace of God and all of that. What's this last year been like for you guys personally in terms of leaning into those very things that you're seeking to teach other people about?
Well, we probably wanted to start this ministry thinking we had it all figured out and having all the answers.
Right.
And that probably the grace has been to realize you never really do. We're always in need. I think that's the real gift of having a Savior, is the more aware you are of your need, the more connected you are to your Savior. And so the humility to just acknowledge that we're all in process. In one way or another, there will always be something. And that doesn't, like, I didn't always think there would always be something. I thought I would arrive eventually. And now I'm just realizing there's more and more of a journey. And some parts of it are not my favorite. And I don't want to relive. I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because in the last year, I would say many of the times where either we have been speaking or I have been speaking on the day of or the day before, whatever topic I'm speaking on is like, it comes and smacks me right in the face. And I'm like, Lord, how are you sending me in to talk on this?
Right.
Showing me my deep need. And it's not like I didn't already know it before, but I'd gotten to a place where I felt kind of a little on solid ground. And I found that when I've gone in those, the connection with people has been really, really strong because I feel so shaky about it.
Yeah.
So that the only thing I feel strong about is what he's saying and what he's doing. But man, I've not liked that.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we went to a marriage conference here in San Antonio, and I was speaking along with Dr. Julie Slattery, and we were doing a marriage conference. And so it's always interesting because like 2 days before that conference, something came up between me and my wife that we sort of both thought we'd kind of put a pin in about 10 years ago. Yeah. It's like, where did this come from? And and we've always joked, anytime we've done something where we're doing some kind of marriage ministry or doing something, we always joke whenever we go to do that, it's like, well, guess what? We've got fresh material, you know? So in terms of what the examples are going to be or about the real life stuff. And I do think there's a part of that, that I think God allows those things because we are still all in process and because of how important humility is to our growth, right?
Yeah.
If we ever got to a point where we, you know, really kind of operated like we had it all figured out, then we're probably done learning, right? Because doesn't it take us a degree of humility to keep learning and saying, hey, there's plenty more layers that need to be unpacked. So what else would you guys say about that in terms of some things you've been learning in this last year about maybe some of those more layers that are coming out?
I think the one this last year that was the most surprising for us is that, you know, we'll be married 21 years in May. And so we celebrated 20 years last year and have enjoyed marriage and enjoyed raising four kids. And we were starting this ministry and it was actually getting off the ground. And so it felt like we had just come through three really hard years and like, hey, this is the year of kind of blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
What was surprising was it was the hardest year of our marriage with each other. And I think a lot of that was everything was new.
Mm-hmm.
She had really only worked outside of the home our first couple of years of marriage and then homeschooled our kids and raised them. And that was her work for many years. And I worked outside the home. And suddenly we were both working together inside the home by ourselves most of the day. She had a whole new output of energy. And we were both doing new things and it was only with each other. And what do we share at the end of the day? We've been with each other all day. Used to, we would interact with each other and tell each other about our days. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. And we were both hurt, I think, and wounded from the 3 years before and had a lot of lack of energy where usually we've helped each other through hard times. We were both hurting at the same time and didn't have the energy to help the other one through at that time. So
I have a lot of compassion for retired folks now. Like the one who's been home all the time and then all of a sudden the other one is home, you like have to completely reestablish your relationship because our lives used to be so separate and now there's so much overlap. And so that I would say we probably are pretty compatible. We used to think we were more compatible than we are. What we're recognizing is we do have a lot of differences and that has been very annoying. But to come to some appreciation for our different perspectives and our different styles and how if we can value both of those, that will be good. But it's taken some learning because we liked it better when we thought we were the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how would you, because I think this is really important to talk about regarding, especially for just couples to hear this, because I think we almost get into a subconscious expectation that we should, by the time we've been together for 20 years, we should have some things just sort of permanently established.
Yep.
And what would you say to those couples that are feeling like, why are things grating on me? How come by this time, whether it's 10 years or 20 years or whatever, how come by this time things don't seem to just be kind of humming in a rhythm that is just always, you know, harmonious? What would you say to those couples to help them kind of think of, okay, it's not bad, you know, it's not bad that there's still friction and there's still these kind of things, but what are some things that you guys have learned that might you want to pass on to those couples that might have those expectations of stuff should just be fine now? Everything should be working out.
You want to take it first or me?
I'll be really interested to see what you say because you have asked that question
a lot. I was going to say that was probably my main like complaint when all of this started to bubble up was it was like we had some hard things that happened in our life, but we were always kind of smooth. And so I was like, all of a sudden a wheel came off and it was like, what's the deal? Why now? And I would say, so both of us tired, both of us processing some deep hurt from other people, not from each other. But in time, we started to have it with each other because like, you're not there for me and I'm not there for you. And I think there were two main things. One is we would take breaks, but we we always kept coming back. Sometimes it was a little longer than others, but we kept coming back. It was like we stayed in the conversation. And the second one was God put some unique people in our lives who have really, there's one couple that we meet with. They have a ministry, and we meet with them online together and now separately too, who have really helped us do some forgiveness work with things that have happened in our lives, especially over the last 5 or 6 years. And that work, even though it hasn't been about brokenness between us even yet, has already brought us back together in a much stronger way. So that was a huge one. Other people helping us kind of walk through that process.
Yeah.
I was surprised how much of the work we had to do for our marriage was actually separate from one another. Like how much of the work, we wanted to work on the marriage, but in reality, I had to work on me and he had to work on him, because we really didn't have much to offer our marriage just, you know, in that season. And so getting help, and we're both in our 40s. So, you know, it's a time of testing and changing and finding yourself again. And anyway, it really did help to work individually, even though it didn't seem like the direct path to healing our marriage. It really, I think, was part of what made the difference.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I think I love what you guys are saying there, because what I'm hearing from you guys is you're saying, okay, one is that life can kind of be broken down into seasons, right? So rather than us thinking life becomes static, we're going to be always in this place. If you can recognize, hey, life has changing seasons to it, you know, based on, you know, age, you know, children, their ages, you know, just even context of where you live and just all those kinds of things, we have different seasons. And almost if we could look at it like life is seasonal, then we could almost create the expectation that change must happen, because we understand seasons, right? If you just think about seasons throughout the year, you don't go from spring to summer without there being a change, you know? You don't go from fall to winter without there being a change. It's like it's built into nature that we would expect that not every day of the year is going to be the same climate, the same weather, whatever. And yet somehow in our lives and in our relationships, we go, why isn't it always sunny all the time, you know? And maybe for people who live in San Diego that are listening to us, you struggle with this, because you're like, it's always sunny all the time. But for those of us who live in a place that, at least in Texas, we have two seasons, you know, we have like hot and not as hot. Right. But you know what I mean? So the other thing too that I'm hearing from you guys is that it is important to recognize that even though we are, you know, biblically, we're in this one flesh union in marriage, there is still the distinctiveness of our individual personalities. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the whole growth, like if you're talking about a healthy marriage, I have one of my friends here that runs a ministry, and it's a marriage ministry, and they do like these intensive marriage weekend deals for any couple struggling with anything. It's not necessarily sexual stuff. And one of the things that he loves to say is, he says, we've got to maybe pull back from this idea that marriage is like a third entity, like somehow this idea of one flesh. Now you've created marriage. Mm-hmm. It's like the one flesh union is still one person with one person. So it's kind of like there's still individual uniqueness and distinctiveness. And so what I'm hearing from you guys is there's also growth that needs to happen on that individual level. And it obviously impacts the one flesh union.
Yeah. I would say, so we've been using that word process. So you have a person who's always in process, and the person who's always in process, and then together they're always in process.
Mm-hmm.
That unity comes obviously in the Lord. But sometimes there's that individual work to be done. And we found we were at different places about our grieving of a lot of the changes that had happened in our lives over the last few years. It had hit us in different ways.
Yeah.
But I think, at least I was thinking, that the way I'm processing it is the way she should process it, or is processing it. And then, so when she isn't, then I'm like surprised. Mm-hmm. So that was a learning that took a little while for me to catch up with.
Yeah. We were probably putting a lot of pressure on each other. And so, it felt like we had to release each other some, not release our marriage, but maybe release control. So I had to release control of his process and allow mine to be what it was, different from his. And as I released control of his, I wasn't putting as much pressure on him to change. And it seemed to actually allow the space needed for God to do what he wanted to do in Steve, which was different, or a different path maybe, or we're different people, different personalities, yeah. We need different things.
You know, I love what you're saying, because so my wife and I are just a little bit ahead of you guys in terms of number of years married. We're going to hit 24 years this year, you know, so, but similar kind of seasons. And one of the things, the longer I'm married and really kind of the longer I'm alive, maybe this is oversimplification, but I do think some things, the older we get, the simpler life can be seen. And I really believe that there's one word that is becoming the most predominant word through which I want to relate with my wife, and that is empathy. Mm-hmm. And the way that fits to me biblically is the golden rule. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you realize that this isn't, like you said, Steve, this is a person in process. I'm a person in process. We're not always actually at the same place in that process, but together we're also in process. If we can have an empathetic spirit towards our mate, it goes so far in kind of just bringing the whole stress level down, bringing sometimes the volume down, because it's like I'm trying to look at life as much as I can through their eyes rather than only through my eyes. And that has helped me tremendously, because so many times I'm seeing my wife thrashing in whatever she may be thrashing about. Maybe she had a rough day at school that day with a student or something like that. Well, if I bring just kind of my, you know, analytical, you know, let's get it done, type A kind of personality, if I'm only looking through my eyes to see what she's struggling with, it's going to be a terrible conversation. But if I try to step into her shoes and go, now let's see, what would that feel like to have that 5-year-old kid student treating me like that? And, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to have a completely different demeanor towards how I speak, probably even how much I say, because there might be parts of it that I go, I'm hearing you. I don't really understand that. But, and Jamie, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I've learned the three words that every woman wants to hear from her husband. Tell me more. That's like the three magic words, you know, just keep bringing it. Keep talking.
I'm interested in you.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I think, hearing you talk about empathy, I think you're so, I just love hearing what you're saying. For me, what is helping me to get that empathetic place toward my husband is when I allow myself some space from him to receive God's perspective of me. Because really the reason I'm hard on him is usually because I'm being hard on myself. And mm-hmm. So I just kind of pass on more of the same. So if I'm able to receive from God or from his people the understanding I need in my situation, just the good gifts of God, that you're fine, I love you, I don't expect you to be doing better than you are today, I can see you're doing the best you can. And as I receive that in my quiet space with God, then I have more to offer him. Like I can care because I have something to care from.
I was actually thinking, I cannot remember the specific because it was a few months ago, but in a prayer time I was having, I felt like God gave me a perspective of her that I hadn't seen. It was about something that whenever she usually shared it, it made me kind of anxious. And all of a sudden in this prayer time, it was like he just kind of gave me the picture of what it looked like from her perspective. Mm. And I remember, not remember what the specific was, but I remember coming to her and saying, hey, in my prayer time, this happened. And she goes, and what did that do? And I was like, it made me feel, I didn't use the word empathy, but it was something like, it made me hurt for you. About this thing that usually when she would talk about that subject, I was just like,
right,
my buttons, and I knew I was going to say something wrong and make it worse. And so that prayer time has become really important, I think.
And that's why I think, and we have to remember too, I think this idea of empathy is deeply rooted in grace. right? One of the things that I may have shared this with you guys before, but you know, Steven Cervantes, who's usually my co-host, and I love the guy, and he's just phenomenally wise. And I remember one time, but the thing is, he just says stuff comes out of his mouth and he doesn't realize how like golden it is. You know, he just says stuff and I'm going, man, that is awesome. You know? And one of the things that he said one time at our workshop that it just sunk deep into my soul is he says, we need to be gracious to ourselves and to one another because in this day, we've never been here before. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and he started kind of unpacking that. He says, you've never been in this day. You've never been this age. You've never been in this day in relationship to your spouse. You've never been in this day in relationship to your kids. And I was like, that's true. Every day needs to be just drenched in grace because it's a new day for all of us. We've never been here before. And so I think kind of what you guys are talking about, it's like, okay, you go through these seasons and you recognize, hey, transitions happen. This is hard. How are we going to deal with this? Well, if we realize we've never been here before, can we be gracious towards ourselves and each other? And I think that makes all the difference. It doesn't mean that you don't face the challenges. It doesn't mean you don't talk about them.
Yeah.
But you kind of have a whole lot more compassion toward each other going through it.
Well, I think when you come at it from that perspective, the other way of going into a new day is like with like the slave driver behind you with the whip saying you're already late. You're already behind, you have too much to do, you're not going to get it done, all those kinds of things. Where when you approach it the other way, where you're not alone, Jesus is walking with you, and you learn from his kindness to be kind to yourself and patient with yourself, I think more gets done. out of grace, there's fruitfulness. You know, out of the slave driver mentality, it looks like stuff's getting done, but the inside is getting torn to pieces. So,
well, and the other thing too is that, and this is something that my wife is continually teaching me. I'm such a slow learner, but she's teaching me this. And because her personality is so different from mine, I'm very much like a destination oriented type of person, you know, like let's get there and all this kind of stuff. And she has taught me that really a marriage relationship is far more about learning what it is to be together than it is to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's just sort of blown my mind. The idea that if you think about the health of a relationship, at least from God's perspective, is more about that intimacy, the connection, the being together. And if we can put it this way, the unity, even when we have different personalities, mm-hmm. we have, you know, we're made up differently, but God calls us to unity. And I feel like that's one of these things that grace and, yeah. you know, empathy is so critical for, but.
Yeah, our ministry, one of our key values is rest. Mm. We find often to have that grace and have that compassion, either to receive or to give, you have to have space in your schedule. And so how can we take a breath even in our busy days to recall the grace? But how can we even find some space so that we can invest the time that those relationships need instead of them just being the leftover thing? And right. it's a challenge and in process, but we're valuing it more and more.
I would say that prioritizing grace. And so some of that looks like the time you spend with the Lord in prayer and word with other people who also help you see the kingdom, help speak grace into you. And in our relationship, I think what it's meant is because we hit this time period where all of a sudden there was this going on, it meant longer conversations. And then saying, hey, we're both worn out. Can we take a break? But we know we need to come back to this. We're not done with it. Right. You know, as you said earlier, put a pin in that, or I don't think come back to it. But it's that we've actually given that priority to take time. This needs time. We need to talk this out. It's going to be longer than 20 minutes. So.
Right. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. But I really... I mean, I've really enjoyed this conversation, and please let our listeners know how they can learn more about your ministry and kind of get plugged in with what you guys are doing. Because I'm sure we have couples out there that are going, hey, I could use what Steve and Jamie are offering. So how can people get in touch with you?
So we have a website, breathelifetoday.com, and you can go there and you can send us an email or get connected with us that way. And we would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, we'll be sure to include that in the show notes and everything and make sure people can get connect with you guys. But thanks again so much for y'all being with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And listeners, of course, we're always glad that you're with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.